Good morning. You have just been charged, and so have the elders of this congregation, by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter. This is a challenge, and I hope that you will be able to follow me as we talk about the challenge that we are facing as a congregation. I know that it has been anticipated by many of you wanting to know. In fact, I won't call any names, but some of you followed us around trying to find out who we had decided to ask to come. We appreciate that. We appreciate your love, your prayers. We appreciate your support. And today, I want to talk to you about that. You know, as best I remember, the largest number of people that I have spoken to in the last 68 years was 1,152 people. That's exciting, folks. But it's more intense this morning than it was then, because I want to tell you what I believe that God wants you to know, and that we, as the elders of this congregation, want you to know. The end has come for our search, and I'm not trying to make it a more intense thing with you, but I want to say one or two things before I tell you who this is. And I know that you already know this. I know that you know that the elders of this congregation love you. I know that there are times when you would have liked to have been in some of our meetings, but you wouldn't have liked some of it, because it has been agonizing and deliberate, and I believe that with God's help, we are making the right move. But the end is here. The challenge is here, so that we may be able to serve God in the best way that we can. I have struggled for many years to try to tell people that I love you. I distinctly remember a lady many years ago who went out after a Sunday morning sermon, and I knew she was really upset. And I said, "I love you." That's all I said to her. And she shot back at me and said, "Are you sure you love me?" And I said, "Yes, because Jesus loved me. I love you. And I have no trouble loving you. If I could just change all of you to be exactly what I want." No, I would not do that. But I want you to know that I love you. Now, you just heard the charge that we have from Peter about our lives. Peter, I got to thinking about this. Peter probably wasn't quite as old as I am when he said that, but the Holy Spirit moved him to write the words that were read to us about him. And he addresses the elders. We are so appreciative of that. And there are other things that we'll look at briefly today. I asked my fellow elders to give me any pointers that they would like to give me. And they were good enough to do that. And so I have something here from our beloved brother Mark Otter that I want to read. He gave me permission to read this. And when I read this, then I'm going to make sure that you understand who we're talking about. And I'm sorry, but if I put my glasses on, I won't miss any of this. So, and this is recounting the history of the process. And you may not know that. By the way, if you're visiting with us today, we welcome you here. And we hope that you'll let us take an opportunity to say hi to you. If you're new, and just kind of give us a chance so that you can find out how much we love God and how much we're going to love you. Mark writes, I think the order is important in that the last thing should be the announcement. You don't agree with that, do you? But that's all right. We'll get it done. I just wanted you to know that he said that. Now, the first order was to select a group of helpers who were completely voluntary. They were asked to come to instructional meetings, which they gladly did, and then were off to do their jobs. We appreciate them so very much. The second order, the elders have spent hours upon hours discussing and making phone calls and discussing and praying. This was not easy. The third order, we eliminated some candidates, and some of them eliminated themselves, leaving only two. We believe God's hand was in all and likely because of your prayers. The fourth order, we met in the homes of volunteers who opened their homes for as many as decided to come and spend time with the two preacher candidates and their families. There was good attendance and a good dialogue. You were loving and made both families feel welcome. I want you to understand that. Both these families felt welcome as we talked with them in our final discussion with them. We have not felt any pressure from anyone who was demanding of a certain person our process, and we thank you for that. That means a lot to us. You have let us do our job without much distraction, and we're grateful for that. As we have and are going through this, you must have had Hebrews 13:17 in mind, which part of it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to do this. You've given us joy and not grief. We elders must give account for the way we have led you, and that never leaves our minds. we are all very serious about the accountability each of us have or has to God. As of this last Wednesday evening, the paperwork was completed, the agreement was signed, and officially, after church last Wednesday evening, then these folks became our main target. And, you know, I'm sorry if you'd like to beat us up because we waited that long. But believe me, since I've been doing this for over 68 years, I have come right down to the wire in thinking that I was going to move somewhere. And they didn't find out that I was a bad person. Just other things happened. And we didn't want that to happen. Now, that's all the explanation that I have. And I think that you are such wonderful people that you agree with that. Now is the time to really stand behind the elders' decision and maintain a joy for yourselves and a joy for the elders. Do not be grieved because you may not be getting the choice that you wanted. I said this out loud to myself. I said, Lord, I wish you were here in the flesh to do this instead of me, because I know I can't do it perfectly. I've been trying for a long, long time. But I believe I'm talking to people who really love God, and that you will work to make this happen. Oh, by the way, I promised you to tell you who it was, didn't I? After all the prayers, the input from you and everything, we have asked John Paul, Rachel, Philip, and Thomas Suchecki to come work with us. They desire to do so. We will be able to give you the timeline a little later on. And I would like to tell you, if you have any difficulty in accepting that decision, and you want to talk with any one of us or all of us as elders, please do so. It would be so good to be able to please everyone. And we're just praying that this is pleasing to God, that this is what God wants. Now, the charge that we have as elders, I'd like to read again. I need to look at the clock because I don't want to run the clock out. I don't want you getting up leaving. In looking at 1 Peter and hearing what Peter has to say, he says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, and not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over God's heritage, those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Then our reader read verse 5, which asked younger people to be submissive. And the only way that can happen is for us to communicate talk to us and for us to talk to you. And if we don't, and you feel you know how we could do that better, I promise you, I work with some men who are not going to violate this law of God. I've never worked with men who loved God anymore. And you don't have to believe me, but we've never had a real disagreement in all these months that we've looked at different things. We think alike. Sometimes we can even finish one another's sentences. And that's kind of scary, but it is also beneficial because we are of one mind. And we would like to see this congregation move further by deacons being appointed at the proper time. Not next week, but in the proper time. I have a number of other things that I wanted to say to you, and I will not use them all. I always have more ammunition. I moved a place one time, and a guy had, I'd been there about 6 months, and he said, let's go for a cup of coffee. And first thing he said when we got our coffee is, I thought in a couple of weeks you'd run out of soap. But I don't think you're going to run out of soap. And I said, no, sir. Not till the Lord comes. There is a lot to say. And it's wonderful to be able to talk to people and to share with people about the great message of God. Now I want to just touch on Acts chapter 20 where Paul calls the elders of Ephesus to Miletus to meet them. Meet him. And he talks to them about the future that they have. One of the things that he tells them is to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The church is the blood-bought, spirit-filled institution of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. We want to do what he says. And he warns them, and we are aware of that. Do any of you realize the devil has already made some attacks? I mean, this early on, the devil has already stuck his ugly foot in our business. And we must stay together. That's why we need you to pray for us and talk to us. You are the very most important part of this whole scenario. So please remember that. And Paul said to the elders in Ephesus, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, men will arise from among yourselves. That's the eldership. Speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So he says, watch and remember that I preached to you for 3 years, night and day. And so please, keep the message of God. And of course you're aware that not too often long ago we studied about the church at Ephesus. You remember what the Lord told them? Return to your first love. We want to constantly love the Lord. In the Ephesian and Colossian letters, I'm going to leave some of the stuff out because I think these are important. Listen to it. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, know how you ought to answer each one. You realize what a wonderful world it would be if all of us practiced that, not just in our church assemblies, but all the time. And I prayed to God many times, please let my mouth work like you want it to work. In the Ephesian letter, in chapter 4 and verse 29 and 30, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the ears. Do you love coming here and meeting people? And you know, I told John and Mary that last Sunday I wasn't at my very best, but I missed them. I didn't get to say hi to them. It is my desire to see and touch each of you when you come here, and I love you very much. Now, if you don't want to be hugged, I won't hug you, but if you want to give me two hugs, that's okay too. So, it's very important for us to love and respect one another. The last verse that I want to remind you of, and then we're going to quit. I'm not done. I never get done, but I'm going to quit. And I hope that I have accomplished what we intended to accomplish. But in 1 Timothy 5:19, Paul writes to Timothy and tells Timothy, do not receive an accusation against an elder except by two or three witnesses. And if we would remember that, that is a direction from God. It's possible. Remember what Paul just said to the elders of Ephesus? Men will rise from among your own selves. We are aware of that. Every prayer we pray. And another thing that I'd like to leave with you about the elders and our meetings. We never meet without praying more than once. But they usually make me stand up because I sit in that comfortable chair that I grab when I get in there because I'm older than they are. But we stand up, we join hands, and we don't say, well, it's your turn to pray. Somebody just starts praying. And we do that, sometimes more than one of us does. But we love one another, we love God, and we love you. And I beseech you, please, give this family coming to work with us an opportunity. And I'll just tell you once again, I've moved places, and one place I moved, and a guy, after more than 6 months, walked up to me and said, preacher, I've tried to keep you from coming here. He was one of the elders. I voted against you coming, but they overruled me. I'm glad you're here, he said. Well, but all that time I'd worked with someone that I didn't know, didn't like me. I can't imagine anybody not liking me. I'm sure you can. But I'd like for you to know that we will do whatever we can to make it as palatable as we can as we make this transition. Please know, I'm not just talking for me. I feel comfortable in telling you I'm talking for the eldership, and I believe for God. And so if there is any reason that you need today to seek help from us in any way, please respond as we stand together and sing this song.